go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. Michael Pregin is joining us to talk a little bit about the ongoing mess in Iraq and Syria. He is a visiting fellow at the Institute for National Strategic Studies at the National Defense University and a veteran of several tours in Iraq that would give him a bit of an idea what's going on. And Mike, one thing that I think seems to be going on for sure is that the Shia militias that are the bulk of now the combat forces going against ISIS, they're Iraqi troops, but they're basically Iranian proxies funded by the Iranians, in many cases generaled by the Iranians, and in some cases even supplied by us. They are running rampant. They are slaughtering people, and some reporting seems to be coming out about that. Can you tell us about Ned Parker's report on some massacres?
Well, thanks for having me on. Yeah, the Ned Parker report, the Reuters piece, is something we've been saying for the last year and a half. These are the same Shia militias that were killing Americans while we were in Iraq, and they haven't changed. Not only were they killing Americans while we were there, they were also killing Sunnis, Shia nationalists, and Christians. These same militias now, instead of being targeted by our special operations forces and our intelligence community, are, like you said, they're actually benefiting from the U.S. being part of this operation. U.S. funding, equipment, is going to these militias through the Iraqi government. You see the premier militias like Kitab Hezbollah and Asad Ahl al-Haq, which is led by Qais Ghazali, with M1 tanks, with the latest M4s, with the latest night vision goggles, with the latest body armor, stuff that's supposed to be going to the Iraqi security forces and the Iraqi special operations forces is making its way into the hands of these militias. So this is a violation of current existing law. We should hold Baghdad accountable and say, listen, we're going to stop sending Baghdad money if it's going to go to the militias, and we need to divert that money, that equipment, and that training to the Kurdish regional government area, not only to support Kurdish Peshmerga, but also to build the Sunni force that Baghdad does not want to build. You can only defeat ISIS when Sunnis reject it, and this current ISIS strategy has given Sunnis no reason to believe that they have a future in their government, future in their country, or a relationship with the United States that is hell-bent on defeating ISIS.
Well, now, weren't we in this situation now that Obama has essentially outsourced the conduct of this war to the Iranian-backed militias, as you mentioned, and at this point, we have essentially walked away from our responsibility. We're not just leading from behind. We're spectating from the sidelines. And at this point, if anyone is going to take ISIS down, it will be them. But is that necessarily all that good a thing if in doing so, they kill most of the population, destroy the infrastructure, loot and massacre? I mean, where is the upside to that in the long run?
Well, Jay Solomon's book, The Iran Wars, basically details, and you know, Leon Panetta said this also, Iran made everything about the Iran deal. So anything that hurt Iran in Syria or anything that hurts Iran in Iraq was a reason for Iran to tank the Iran deal. We started looking the other way in Iraq in 2009, 2010, when we started releasing Shia militiamen with American blood on their hands to include Qais Ghazali, the leader of AH, who 2 weeks ago said, we can wear any uniform in the Iraqi security forces and we will target Americans. We will be part of the Mosul offensive. The biggest problem with using Shia militias to defeat ISIS is they simply believe any Sunni military age male is an ISIS collaborator. So the Shia militias believe Mosul is populated with a million ISIS supporters.
So they're using the kill them all, let Allah sort them out.
Exactly. You know, the UN is saying they're worried about a 1.2 million increase in the refugee flow out of Iraq. That right there says that this strategy is not the one we should be using. The United States kept the Sunni population in these towns and used it to provide intelligence, trained it, put it in the Iraqi army, put it in the Sons of Iraq, put it in the Awakening, to decimate al-Qaeda. This strategy is allowing Shia militias to depopulate Sunni areas, plant a flag in the center of the city, and claim ISIS defeated. That's not how you defeat ISIS. ISIS has metastasizing across the Middle East and Africa, and ISIS is still conducting attacks in Ramadi, Baghdad, Tikrit, Fallujah. They're just not raising the flag that ISIS is still there.
And now we're in the position of creating sectarian violence that is Shia-Sunni that could lead to, again, greater conflict. You've got the Gulf Arabs who are watching their Sunni brethren being slaughtered by their biggest enemy, Iran, essentially. And the U.S. is in many ways facilitating this. So we're losing credibility with them as allies. And if we're stuck with nothing but Iran as an ally in the region, we're in big trouble. We're talking with Mike Pregent, who's a visiting fellow at the National Defense University. Mike, I wanted to shift to the other partner for peace in the region that President Obama is relying on, and that would be Vlad Putin and the Russians, who came in, have basically managed to solidify, in many ways, Assad by bombing a lot of the areas where his enemies were flat. But there have been interesting reports where the Russians were bragging about flying out of Iranian air bases. And there's a little back and forth going between the Russians and the Iranians as to whether or not that's happening. What do you think is actually going on?
Iran owes everything they gained in the Iran deal to Lavrov and Putin. Russia was Iran's guarantor. Russia pressured the United States to concede, make a lot of concessions during the Iran deal. Assad is in a more powerful position in Syria because of Russia. Iran is better positioned because of Russia. So when Russia brags about being able to use a base and Iran says, hey, can you keep that down? We don't want people to know about it. I don't believe these reports at all that Russia has taken their aircraft away and can't use this base anymore. Russia is simply being asked to keep it down, and Russia is looking squarely in the eyes of those Iranians, telling them to keep it down and saying, you're nothing without us. Don't push back too hard because we, you know, Have you ever had a conversation with a Russian?
Mean, yeah.
You know, attack the pride. That's it. The game is on.
Right.
And they're pretty good. They're both chess players. But I, whatever Russia says is happening in Iran, I would take that over what Iran is saying is happening in Iran with regards to these aircraft.
And obviously, Russia has the much bigger hammer. But let me ask another question about Russia's ability to maintain an expeditionary presence of any kind. I mean, it's extremely helpful to them to be flying out of Iran rather than out of Russia because tankers aren't their strong suit. You know, and having troops in the area and planes in the area for them is tough. They don't have a lot of cash to support that. You know, I
right.
wonder if the Iranians are using some of that Iran deal money to offset the costs for the Russians to join that fight.
Well, the Russian airbase in Iran serves many purposes. It allows Russia to bring in advanced weaponry that Iran's not supposed to have under the guise of protecting a Russian airbase. And I'm talking about S-400s
mm-hmm.
and an aircraft system that's capable of thwarting a U.S. Attack on a nuclear facility in Iran, whereas the S-300, which they're not supposed to have, which Russia's already starting to give them, is a very capable deterrent against an Israeli attack. Erdogan just said that Russia can share the base in Incirlik with the United States to conduct attacks in Syria. So
lovely.
Russia's pretty smart out there. And former President Saleh from Yemen has basically said, listen, I'll give you guys basing rights here in Yemen if you help me fight against the Houthis, which is very interesting because then that would be Russia actually going to the side of an anti-Shia proxy government. Russia's in a better position. Iran should actually pay attention to what Russia's doing, because at the end of the day, Russia can put its economy against Iran's any day, and Iran is where it is, meaning in an advantageous position because of what Russia did with the Iran deal.
Mike Pregent, visiting fellow at the National Defense University, thank you so much for that wonderfully depressing news. That is going to wrap up Secure Freedom Radio for today. This is Jim Hansen. We'll be back tomorrow with more ammunition in the war for the free world.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.